Today, we're going to continue through 2 Timothy, looking in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Previously, in chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, Paul had used his life and his circumstances to kind of encourage Timothy to step up his game, telling him not to be timid, but to be bold, to be powerful, to use the Spirit of God, to use his faith to accomplish what he's got to accomplish. They're facing persecution from the world, from the false believers in the church, and definitely just persecution from the Roman Empire. But now in these verses, 13 and 14 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, we're going to see Paul refer to his teaching that is to be used as an example or a pattern for Timothy's life. It's going to manifest in two different areas. It's going to manifest in Timothy's teaching, meaning it's going to be correct teaching, sound teaching, but it's also going to manifest in lifestyle, the character of God. In the Bible, you cannot separate the truth from holiness. You always have true teaching, which is going to produce holy living. The truth of God producing the character of God in a person's life. They're confronting, Paul and Timothy, especially in Ephesus, are confronting false teachers, people that are teaching things that are not the Word of God. They're not the truth, but also because they are not the truth of God, they're going to not be able to produce the character of God. False teaching also produces false fruit, or evil, or wickedness. It will always continue to degenerate, to decline. And so the idea is, throughout the Bible, the truth of God is not only doctrine, is not only the true Word of God, it is also going to be the seed for the very essence of God in your life, to be holy, to be righteous, to be, in this case, to have faith and love. So let me read right here out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, in the English Standard Version now. It says, "Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Verse 14, "By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." So we see a reference there to Jesus Christ in verse 13, that this is because he's in Christ, he's going to have the ability to have both faith and love. But then because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in verse 14, he's going to have the ability to actually guard the good deposit, which is the teaching. Now, some things that we've seen here in this verse is there's two imperatives. Verse 13 is going to have the first imperative. I can read it to you again. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And then the second imperative is going to be in verse 14. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Paul is preparing Timothy to continue the work of the ministry after Paul is gone. Timothy is already in Ephesus while Paul's locked up in the Mamertine prison in Rome. And so Timothy is already facing false teachers at this time in Ephesus. It's also addressed in 1 Timothy. But it's going to continue to be an issue, especially after Paul is executed, that Timothy's going to have to face the false teachers and use as a pattern of the truth, of the true teaching, the words that he heard Timothy preach. Now, what's interesting is Timothy is not being given a creed or some points of doctrine and a direct outline to follow. He's being given the teaching, the truth, the example of Paul's life, the teaching that he's heard that Timothy is to take and use as a pattern. And we can identify this pattern. Well, the word for pattern means example or standard. It's the same word used in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, "I received mercy for this reason," Paul writes, "that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." So in other words, that was being, the word there, pattern, which is hypotyposen in the Greek, it's the same word, is there being used of Jesus Christ using Paul, because he was a persecutor of the church, as a pattern, as an example, a demonstration of God's grace, of what he is capable of doing. So Paul was an example, or what God Christ did in Paul's life was a pattern for what everyone else can have done to them. Paul is now telling on the same word, but in a different sense, a different illustration, is saying, use my words as a pattern for your own words. In other words, he's to look at Timothy's to look at Paul as a pattern, as an example of what he is supposed to do in his teaching and then also in his way of life. It goes on and says the sound words that are to be used as the pattern. Paul's sound words, the word sound, is hogeaino, which means healthy or to be sound. It's translated as well, as good health, as right, as reasonable, as sound, or as pure, uncorruptible or uncorrupted. So he's supposed to use Paul's sound words, his healthy words, his uncorrupt words, his pure words, which is identifying them as the teaching of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, the revelation from God revealed to the apostle in the pure form. The problem is coming alongside of that, trying to erode that pure teaching, that uncorrupt word, is false teaching, the ideas of man, the concepts, trying to combine it with some worldly ideas we see throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, of taking the philosophy of the pagan world and bringing it aside alongside the Word of God and corrupting it, and pretty soon it has no power. It's been corrupted. So now he says, use as a pattern sound words, or the healthy words, the healthy teaching. The word here is logos for teaching, which can also be translated as an idea or the doctrine, the teaching, the words. The sound words, the healthy words, the healthy words that Paul has taught are to be the pattern of the teaching, or the words that Timothy is to use publicly in his teaching, but also privately in his life to create the godly character. He goes on and says, as it says, the healthy words, having heard from me. Now, this is something Paul is going to use with Timothy on several occasions, the idea of what you saw or what you heard in me, do this. I'm going to give you three examples. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, coming up later, Paul is going to say, and what things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. There, he says, the things that you've heard, the things you've heard. The word being things. Previously, what we just saw in our verse 1, chapter 1, verse 13, is the sound teaching you've heard from me. Now he says in chapter 2, verse 2, the things which you've heard from me. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 10, you, however, have followed my teaching. There's the word from didaski, or didasko, which we get the word teaching from, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith and my patience, my love and steadfastness. So there, being added along with teaching, or the words, the doctrine, Paul adds to that, he adds my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. There he's identifying some fruit of the Spirit. Hupomone, steadfastness, or agape, love, patience, faith. These are things besides the teaching. Paul is also demonstrating for Timothy character traits of the Holy Spirit in his life. This all comes from having the truth or the Word of God in his life. But again, it's going to manifest this fruit. Don't just follow the teaching. The teaching will also produce the fruit. Now, you can't just follow the fruit, try to imitate the fruit without the truth. That's going to be, again, a form of false teaching. Neglect the truth and imitate Christianity. This is called weeds, not wheat. The truth will produce the wheat. But you have the absence of truth, you'll produce some kind of growth, but it's going to be weeds that try to imitate. Basically, hypocritical production, hypocritical lifestyle. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, another time that Paul tells Timothy to imitate him. He says, if you put these things before the brothers, and you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. So again, the words and the teaching, the words and the doctrine. You put this before the brothers, you'll be a good minister of the words and the doctrines of the Christian faith. And then that is assumed, as always, that those good words and good doctrines will produce the character traits of God. He goes on and says in chapter 1, verse 14, he says, follow the patterns of the sound words that you have heard from me, and then in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Faith and love in Christ Jesus. These now are clearly two character traits. Now, we've got to make a distinction here with this phrase, the faith and love. In the Greek, it simply says faith. You can see it look it up in the Greek. You can see it in the transliteration. And if it is to be said, the faith, And the article the is not in the Greek. But if you translate it the faith, that's talking about the faith, which means the doctrines, the embodiment of truth that are captured in the creeds of Christianity. This is the faith. We uphold the faith. But in context, again, you can agree with that, but in the way it, the context and in the way the Greek has no article, it just says faith and love, it seems that we're talking about Timothy's faith and Timothy's love, because the faith is written right alongside the word agape. It doesn't say the faith and the love of Christianity. It's talking about faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And because Paul, Timothy and Paul are in Christ Jesus, they now can take on that character trait of Christ Jesus, which are the faith and the love that are seen in Christ. Again, because of their position in Christ, they are empowered to produce the seed of the Word of God, which produces the character of God. In this case, the faith and love. And those would be, I think, the character traits of Timothy that are being produced because he is in Christ Jesus and has the truth in his soul. Now, also, that would refer to the fact that he's supposed to be presenting this truth, this doctrine, the pattern of teaching, the words that Paul has laid down for him. He's supposed to be presenting those to others in faith and in love. He himself is operating from the basis of faith in the Word of God and love towards others. This is his base of operation. It's a character traits that Timothy has, but it is also his base of ministry in faith in God and love for the brothers. And so he's going to continue his ministry of the word in faith and in love. So I think we're talking about the character traits of Timothy there and not the general the faith of Christian doctrines. It's used that way in other places. You can think of Jude and other places where it's talking about the faith, which is the whole concept of Christianity. Again, verse 13, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And so the good deposit that is entrusted to him is going to be the Word of God. It's going to be the truth, this information that was provided to Paul by Jesus Christ, taught throughout the Gentile world by Paul, is now with Timothy, and he's supposed to now guard that deposit, guard that good deposit. Guarding the good deposit is going to be holding on to it, but also resisting the teaching of the false teachers, the false doctrine, the false teaching, and all the influence the world will want to use to erode away the truth and deteriorate the Word of God, so it becomes nothing more than an institution of mankind. It becomes nothing more than the philosophies of man with Christian terminology. To avoid that, you're going to have to guard the good deposit. It's interesting that this verse says here, by the power or by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Paul talking about himself and Timothy. The Holy Spirit indwells Timothy and Paul, and by the presence of the Holy Spirit that indwells them, they are now capable of guarding that good deposit. Without the Holy Spirit, Timothy and Paul, as it says right here, would be unable to guard the good deposit. They would go the way of mankind. They would go the way of human philosophy, of human ideology, or what the culture wants. They would not be able to stand in firm resistance against the eroding that comes from the world that is trying to wear away the truth of the Word of God. So Paul has used it. He's now saying, Timothy, use it. Use the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to help you guard the truth. It's the only way to guard the truth. So in verse 13, we see because Timothy is in Christ, he is able to produce love and faith because of the Word of God, because he's in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you will not be able to use the Word of God to produce godly character. You're going to need to be in Christ for the Word of God to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Then in verse 14, we see the command, because you are in Christ and you are teaching the Word of God, you need to guard this, but the Holy Spirit is going to be the only reason you have the ability to stand against the world, to stand against false teaching, and hold to the truth is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Going on with this again, verse 14, is the second imperative. The first imperative was in verse 13, the first command, use his sound teaching, his sound words, as a pattern for his own teaching and his own lifestyle. The second imperative now is to guard the good deposit. The good deposit here, it's in also it's the same word that is used in 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 through 21. I'd like to read this because it's the same phrase, guard the good deposit entrusted to you in 1 Timothy 6, 20. It says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. In 2 Timothy, it adds the word good deposit. Here it just says in 1 Timothy 6, 20, guard the deposit entrusted to you. And now we're going to see a list of things following that that he's to avoid. In other words, to guard the good deposit by the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to include standing against these things. In other words, he says now, after he says, guard the deposit entrusted to you, avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. So in other words, avoid these things. If you start dabbling in it, or you do not avoid the stuff that draws you off track, you're going to end up going the direction of some people. And that is where we're going next time, is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, is Paul is going to give Timothy examples of people that have failed to hold the truth and have so abandoned the faith and also corrupted their lifestyle. And he's also going to use examples of people that have, or individuals, who have held to the truth and have also produced godly character. So the next thing we're going to do, after having been told, guard this good deposit, which is able to produce in you, and give it to others so it will produce in them, then he's going to give him next time some examples of people who did it and others that did not do it, that have failed. So in these verses, Timothy is being told to guard the good deposit and use that sound doctrine as a pattern for his own ministry, understanding that by abandoning it, you will not be able to live the holy life nor teach the truth. You're going to need Jesus Christ to produce the fruit. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to guard the truth. This is what he's being said right here. At no place is there any time in the Christian life where truth is separated from holy living? Or can there be holy living separated from the truth? You're going to have them together. You're going to have the truth, and the truth will always produce holy living. Forsaking one for the other is not the Christian way. It will not produce the Christian life. To say, well, we don't want to teach the truth, but we want to be holy, it can't happen. Or to say, we just want to be doctrinally sound, but yet we're not going to worry about our lifestyle, that can't happen. That is a corruption. And Timothy is being told that by Paul. Next time, we're going to look at some examples of individuals and an entire area of churches that either followed Paul and Timothy or abandoned the Word of God and were collapsing. This is going to be the theme now of the book of 2 Timothy, is the false teachers and the corruption that comes from their presence in churches.